You are listening to CEO Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.
Welcome to this episode of CEO Perspectives, a signature webcast and podcast series by the Conference Board. CEO Perspectives take an objective, nonpartisan look at a range of timely issues that matter most to business leaders. We'll sit down with experts and do what we do best at the Conference Board, provide trusted insights for what's ahead. I'm Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board and the host of this series. And in today's conversation, we're going to talk about career variety. What are the benefits of gaining a diverse background, a set of different experiences throughout your career? How can those different career stages participate in a variety of roles while balancing the competing demands of jobs, families, and communities? It's important to do a variety of different things. And joining me today is Holly Gagnon, the leading voice on organizational culture and employee engagement. She is the co-CEO and chairperson of Artemis Strategic Investment Corporation, which is a SPAC. I'm going to ask you, Holly, in a minute, what's a SPAC? She's also president of HCGC Hospitality Gaming Consulting. She's done it all. She's been a CEO. She's been a board member. She's also a trustee of the Committee for Economic Development, the Public Policy Center of the Conference Board, and a trustee of the Conference Board. Holly, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. I'm excited to be here.
Holly, what the heck's a SPAC?
It's a Special Purpose Acquisition Corporation. So it is a mechanism for companies to go public. And some people refer to it as a blank check company.
Yeah, which is great if you have a need for a blank check. Okay, we'll do a separate podcast on that. But for everybody who wants to know what a SPAC is.
You can talk hours about SPACs these days.
Exactly right. So Holly, you and I have talked about your incredible career, and it has been so diverse, and you've done so many interesting things, and now you have this whole basket of things that you're doing. Just share with our listeners what you've done generally in your career and what took you to each of these positions.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because I used to use the word happen chance, because I think there are times when some opportunities presented themselves just out of the circumstance that I was in, whether it was a relocation or, you know, a change in a new business such as gaming. So I actually started in college as an MIS major back then, Manager Information Systems. And it was outside of Boston, a school called Bentley University. And it was one of the first schools that really focused on programming and management information versus computer engineering, right? Because I certainly wasn't an engineering major. And then I changed my major to accounting. And I didn't know that I thought a lot about that combination at the time. I went to work in public accounting and then internal audit for some very large companies. But what I found is that knowledge of management information systems and programming and the language and how to communicate with developers proved to be a very important attribute as I kind of grew through my career.
Yeah, and then you became CEO of Seneca Gaming.
I did. That was kind of a journey. I worked in public accounting and internal audit, and then I joined a company called Harrah's, which is now Caesars, and traveled, a little bit nomadic. They assigned me to multiple jurisdictions throughout the country. And ultimately, my last position in gaming was as CEO for Seneca Gaming Corp up in, and we share this geographic reference up outside of Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, and Memphis as well when you were at Harrah's. So it's interesting that, we were both a little bit of corporate nomads, but now you have this whole basket of activities that you're doing. Yes. Share with people the complete list, because my word, I can't keep up with it.
Yeah. So, and it's so funny when people say, what are you doing? And I kind of, name them off. They're like, do you have time for that? And I said, I think when something is very interesting to you and you want to do it, you find the time to do it. Yeah. I think there's an adage, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person, they'll get it done. So you mentioned the SPAC, and then I did start a consulting company called HGC Hospitality Gaming Corporation. I'm currently working on a project where my consulting company is opening two casinos in Nebraska.
Wow.
which is a lot of fun because I love casino operations. It's one of the things I love to do, but I didn't, I honestly didn't want to do only that. So having the consulting company offers me the flexibility where I have a team and I travel and I can be the strategist and I can be involved in a casino operations and do it right, but I can live where I am. And I think one of the big anchors of this whole decision, Steve, is I came home. I live in my hometown and it is absolutely kind of the foundation for all my other decisions. I really felt that calling to not live where the job was, but to live where my heart was.
And you also are involved with not-for-profits.
I am. So obviously I'm with the conference board. I also am a founding board member of a group called Global Gaming Women. And that group really came out of a group called the American Gaming Association. We spun off as a nonprofit and we have grown tremendously. And we are there to promote the growth of women in the casino industry. And whether that means a vendor to gaming or, you know, gaming itself, and has gaming has evolved into iGaming, sports betting, that has certainly been an evolution. And so we're there. I will say that gaming has predominantly been a male dominated industry. And at one point in time, I was the only female CEO in gaming. So knowing that sense of being the only, as they call it, was certainly, I think, struck us, and we wanted to make it a better place for women coming up through the ranks.
Yeah. So, you know, what I hear you saying is, you know, you started with an education, you thought you were going to do one thing, you know, you changed majors, so you collected a variety of academic credentials, and then you kind of followed the open doors that led to, which tried to dovetail your personal skill set interests with, you know, what was out there, I guess, in the marketplace. But what you have said in the past is you didn't try to steer this so much as you sort of went with the tide and where, yeah, it took you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember working with colleagues and they were like, I'm going to be this by this date in my career. And then I'm going to be this. And I would scratch my head. I'm like, how can you gee, that sounds that's so deliberate. I'm impressed by it. But I also didn't feel that fit into running my life that way. And I think that level of resiliency and the ability to see opportunities and be open to them really was a part of my path to where I am today.
And, you know, when things, you know, I sometimes feel like life is a, you know, like this corridor, and sometimes doors are open, sometimes doors are closed, and sure, no matter how hard you beat on the door, it does, but the door, you know, and so what you've done is you've just, you know, people have invited you in, the doors have been open, and you've said, okay, let's go do it. And, you know, that is not what a lot of people have as an attitude today.
Yeah. I think there's a part of giving into the flow of life, right? Instead of resisting. And, you know, I do think there's a piece where it's a little scary to do it that way, right? Because, you know, you don't have certainty. And I think, you know, it's interesting, the more candid conversations I have with colleagues and as people get a little bit older in their career, they're more open about what scares them. And I always thought this whole imposter syndrome was more correlated to women. But the more I really have guy colleagues, they're like, no, I felt like an imposter too. And it plagues so many people. And I think it's really scary to take those leaps when people tap you on the shoulder and say, I see you doing this, would you do it? And in your mind, you're like, I don't know anything about that, or I don't know how to do that. And I think there's a piece of really growing your confidence that you can take those leaps. And I say this to my kids. I said, imagine what's the worst that's going to happen, right? I mean, the real true worst case scenario isn't so bad. You've learned something, you dust yourself off, you live another day. And I think that helps you maybe be a little bit more resilient and open to those things.
Yeah, I think in career moves, you know, the worst that can happen is it doesn't work out. Either you decide or they decide. But, you know, you move on and it's a learning experience and it makes you better and stronger. So as long as you're willing to, you know, to make a change, and this is something else that you've been willing to do. It's not that I see so many young people today that say, okay, it's been 18 months. I've got to make a job change. And it wasn't that for you. You weren't driving it that way. You were just sort of, when the right door opened, and it wasn't for, another $100 in pay, it was the right move where you could be additive and you could learn and you could contribute. That's when you left. And so I didn't add it up, but you had stretches where, you stayed in role or stayed in a company and then it sort of flowed naturally from there.
Yeah. I think my first gaming position and it was with Foxwoods, which is in Connecticut. And I no longer have to explain where it is because it's, been around so long. I was their head of internal audit and I stayed there for 8 years in multiple positions. I moved to IT, I moved to finance. And so I was there for a good amount of time. I saw that organization grow from 2000 to 10,000 employees.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. So many people I talk to say, well, I don't know what I want to do. I just don't know. And, it's almost like a gift if you can come out and say, well, I'm going to be a doctor and, I'm going to be this kind of doctor, or I'm going to be, X, and I just know I'm going to be X and that's what I want to do. But sometimes when you have so many skills as you do, and when you're so smart and capable and you could do a zillion things, it's hard to then say, this is what I want to do. And so what you've said is, I didn't decide what I wanted to do. I just said, this is what I'm good at. Here's my skills. And I found something I didn't feel like I was marrying it. I didn't feel like I was committing to it. It just felt like I was going to go do it.
That's a great way to put it, because it's so funny when people say, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And I said, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, and then you look at your age like, oh boy. But I do agree. I think people, take the leap, try it out. I do believe that, things are a zigzag and not necessarily linear. And so, I like your adage, if things don't work out, you will always learn. And I do say you learn as much by not being successful sometimes in a role as you did by being successful.
Yeah. And, we're towards the latter end of our career versus the beginning, but
I know,
and everybody, yeah, but everybody, says today, well, I'm going to say no, when people ask me, cause I want to make sure that I do X and Y and Z. I don't know whether it was generational, but I just remember that we used to say yes a lot and basically not do what we were told, but we would just say, and I wonder if that isn't something that I wonder if it's generational. Then I wonder whether it's just, are all people who are young, is that just sort of when you're junior in your career, do you say no more? What do you think?
I don't know, because when I do teach for UNLV and I teach for the University of Massachusetts, and I would be asked by the students, how did you get where you got? And I'd say, I haven't applied for a job in a really long time. Like, you usually get asked, which is truly I'm grateful for. But I said, I think it comes down to three things. I said, one is when someone asks you to do something new or try something and you don't ever respond, it's not in my job description, or no. Say, I'll try it, because they're investing in you. They're testing you out, and you're going to come away with a new skill.
And you can do that within your own company a lot of times, where people are trying to do things. Yeah, it's amazing. I smile when people say, no, I don't want to do that. It's like, really? We think you'd be good at this. It's your skill. No.
And I think to your point, I think now, don't you see, when you see talent, and I think I've been very, very, I think that's been one of my personal talents, is having that eye. And I remember going to a woman, she had gone to Cornell Hospitality, and I said, you would be great in marketing. She said, no, I went for hospitality. I'm going to run hotels. I'm like, I really think you'd be great in marketing. And she made the move for that position. And, she's a senior marketer at a hospital, and she loves it. And she's been doing marketing for years. But I think having the trust that people see, we see things in people. And sometimes it's having that those people trusting you enough to believe in themselves and to believe what you're saying.
And I've seen that and been part of that over and over again. And almost always the people have been happier, you know, after moving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. It's being willing to be open to these kinds of things. We need to take a break. We're talking about career variety and career flexibility and multiple roles. Next, we'll talk about how people who are early in their career can balance these and other priorities. Take a quick break and be right back.
As you and your company monitor the volatile and uncertain economy, the award-winning forecast team at the Conference Board predicts a downturn by the end of 2022. Recession will further compound the crises that have recently upended expectations, from a deadly pandemic to a war in Ukraine and the highest inflation in decades. Yet, unprecedented crises also present unforeseen opportunities, if you have a trusted, proven navigator by your side. With that in mind, and as the Conference Board has always done, we are providing you with daily, timely, and relevant content that will guide the business community through the economic storm. These trusted insights are being gathered on our website and are available to help your company master the challenges. To find out how you can chart a course for the future which will allow your business to emerge stronger on the other side, visit our free economic hub entitled Navigating the Economic Storm, Your Indispensable Guide Through the Global Recession, located at conference-board.org/topics/recession.
Welcome back to CEO Perspectives. I'm your host, Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board, and I'm joined today by Holly Gagnon, the co-CEO and chairperson at Artemis Strategic Investment Corporation. And she just the head of all sorts of things, which is what we're talking about today. So, you know, Holly, how, you know, when people say to you, you know, you only have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, how do you fit all this stuff in? What do you say?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. One is I'm a notorious early riser, so I get a lot done, you know, when nobody's up. But I do think it's, I was just with a colleague of mine and we were talking about the same thing. And I said, it's because I eat my toads in the morning. And he said, what are you talking about? And I think it's a Mark Twain adage about frogs, but I often do the things I don't like to do first thing in the morning and knock them out because it takes the most focus and energy. So I think that that's a habit that I've acquired over time for sure. I think too, it's sometimes we just talked about saying yes. Sometimes it's about saying no and really being somewhat realist with your time and making sure you're getting your priorities straight.
So, you know, so part of this, you know, having time to do a lot of stuff is doing things that you like, because you've said if you're doing things that you like, which is what you're doing right now, you're doing this basket of variety of things that you like, it's not like work, right? So it's almost like play in the sense that, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so then you find that you can get it all done because it's like it's so much fun.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm never gonna say that every role that you take is 100% all fun, but you know, there are some responsibilities and some things that are, you know, you have to focus and are serious and, you know, and all these businesses. But yeah, I think when you really are enjoying and engaged in what you're doing, the time goes by so fast and you find opportunities to get things done in little.
Yeah, and you don't wear out. You have more energy because it's, yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. You have to put it in the context that, you know, it's still called work, you know, so they don't call it work for nothing, but at the same time, it's work that you enjoy. It's like going to school and studying something that you really like.
And you brought up the studying thing. I think this whole, I mean, and we talked a little bit about this kind of portfolio life. I think there's a piece of it about being a lifelong learner, and that can be done. People can learn new things at any age. And you just don't ever know when it's going to come in handy.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I've noticed so many people sort of mid-career who say, oh, I can't do that. I'm not an expert in that. And I was like, well, you know, when we were born, we were experts in nothing. I mean, you couldn't even, you know, dress or feed ourselves. I mean, and so you learn these things. At what point did they stop learning? And so what you're saying is don't ever stop.
No.
Always take on new things because you can always learn and develop. And then, but take those cumulative learnings that you have and really apply them in a productive way, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that, you know, I've kind of transitioned. I'm on the board of an iGaming company, and I was always working in land-based casinos my whole career. But there's so much I can add from that experience, even though I was new to iGaming. So I think that there are those opportunities. And then I worked for an esports company on their board, and I think it was taking all I knew about hospitality and culture. So I do think if you step back and you really do kind of an inventory of all the things you do, you'll find that you can add a lot of value in a lot of ways.
You know, so many people though will say to us and to you, gosh, you're incredible. You're so amazing. You've been a CEO of multiple things. You've been on so many boards. You started a business. You know, you're doing this. I mean, wow. I mean, you're just incredible. And you know, you're so unique. And I can't do it. How could this apply to me? But so what do you say to normal people who are earlier in their career? Because you were one of those normal people who earlier in your career.
Absolutely. Be a risk taker. Right. And we talked about this. I mean, I know my first job, or actually my second job outside of public accounting, I moved to Hawaii to be with my.
Well, that's not much of a risk. Everybody wants to do that.
I know, but when you're in your 20s and you've never, you know, traveled that far, I think that early risks, you learn, oh, I can do this. This isn't so scary. And I think being a little scared is okay. I think if you're not uncomfortable, they say that you're not learning, right? So being comfortable in being uncomfortable, you know, if you are that person and you're always trying things, I think you can do that at any stage of your career. I know I look for those go-getters to this day, and I'm sure you do too. Those people who are willing to raise their hand and try new things.
So, you know, if you look at sort of what self-actualizes you over the course of a lifetime, you know, there's family, there, you know, and everybody balances this in different ways, but there's some aspect of family, there's some aspect of career, there's some aspect of community, however defined, right? So how do you balance all of that over the course of time?
I'm glad you said over the course of time, because I think some people have the fallacy that it's always balanced, right? And, you know, we all know that you have like weeks that are really tough. Maybe you have board meetings. You know, I know we talk a lot that, you know, oh, this isn't a good week for everyone to meet because all my board commitments meet at the same time. And, you know, I'm immersed. So I think a piece of this is with my family and with my spouse is letting him know August is going to be a tough month for me. Right. I'm just telling you upfront, let's not plan and know that. But then knowing that your calendar and your space and knowing what to expect, then you can give more on the other things that, you know, when you have gaps. And so I do think it's a little bit of time management is as unexciting as that sound. I like planning a little bit, but, and also just communication. And I think when you have good relationships with people, they understand when you can't make a meeting. Because you're there consistently all the time. And we've talked about even board meetings. Like I try to make every meeting when I can, because there might be that opportunity when I can't.
But I hear you say, you know, you've been deliberate about it. So you have to plan, you have to put it on your calendar. You have to put time. I'm going to go home at 5 tonight, yes, because I'm going to have a family dinner. But yes, you have to plan for it. You have to be deliberate and do it, right? So and it's the same thing. We're talking in the context of maybe a day or a week, but you know, there are years when, you know, we're both parents when our children were small, where, you know, you just didn't do other things, where you just focused on, you know, right. And then before you have a family, you know, you threw yourself into your career, but these things kind of ebb and flow over time. Right. And so you can have it all is what I hear you saying, but not all at once.
Agreed. Because I have a daughter who's 30 and she's off starting at Darden in August. And she'll say, I don't know how you did it at 28. that you were a director, you had me. She goes, I can't even have plans. Right. And I said, I think you just, you know, there's the Finding Dory where the fish is saying, you know, just keep swimming. I think when you're in those modes with the kids and you have all these responsibilities, you just did it. And I'm not going to ever lie. I'm never going to say it was easy. And I'm not ever going to say I didn't cry from time to time.
Well, you know, I think our kids are about the same age. And I tell the story that I've never seen Seinfeld, which was the most popular TV show through the 90s, because I didn't watch TV. My point is, I didn't watch TV through the 90s because, you know, and I didn't, you know, you just have to.
Something had to give.
Well, and it's finding peace in the moment with what you're doing and enjoying what you're doing, knowing that you'll do something else. And this is an important part about career variety, which is if you know it, and if you have an attitude, which is what you've told me, that I'm gonna do a variety of things and I'm not gonna worry about it, I'm gonna let it flow, then you don't get stressed out in the moment. You know, you just sort of let it happen a little bit, right?
Yes. You know, what is it, forcing a square in a round hole? I mean, there's people who will hammer that square, you know, and get frustrated. And you can have intentions like, I want to get to a certain level over time, but not be saddled with that, right? Not be constricted with that.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's an aspiration. It's a destination. You know, if you get in the car and you're going to drive across the country, it's helpful to know where you're going. But exactly. Then you kind of allow the various routes to get you there, as long as you know that you're heading in that direction. I think, you know, does that work?
Directionally correct. Yes. I agree. I think rigidity, when you're rigid, you miss a lot of opportunities and you can turn things into opportunities that you never expected. So I fully agree.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is have an open mind.
Yes.
Take routes that come to you, go through the doors that are open, take the route that's available. If people say, hey, we think you'd be good at this or try this, go try it. Don't be rigid about this. Don't say no. Be flexible. Be in the moment. You know, understand that, you know, the things will take you to a variety of places. And then ultimately, you know, hopefully have a variety of things that you're doing, because that's what it's the variety of the various pieces that make for a fulsome career. Did I capture all of that?
You did. I think, and I would cap it off with, they say comparison is the thief of joy. And I think to not compare your route to other people's routes, it's your journey. You are the CEO of your life and enjoy it.
Holly, it's been so great to be with you. And when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Okay. We're never going to grow up, Steve.
Oh, thanks so much for being with us today. And thanks to all of you for listening into CEO Perspectives. Every week, I'll be joined by prominent thought leaders to provide insights into the issues of our time. We'll cover leading topics in geopolitics, economics, public policy, ESG, human capital, and more. Please share CEO with your friends, your relatives, your children, your grandchildren, anybody who will listen. I'm Steve Odlin, and this series has been brought to you by the Conference Board.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Conference Board, the indispensable ally that has helped businesses through war, recession, and economic transformation for over 100 years. As recent unexpected economic challenges persist, you can chart a course for the future, which will allow your business to emerge stronger on the other side. Just visit our free economic hub entitled Navigating the Economic Storm, Your Indispensable Guide Through the Global Recession, located at www.conference-board.org/topics/recession.